Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Apostle Paul has been admonishing his readers here in chapters 12 and 13 to perform a number of Christian duties, such as ministering their gifts and their goods within the church, within the society, to their enemies, to their civil authorities, yes, and even to tax gatherers. Paul was teaching his listeners that in submitting and serving these various groups of people, they would be demonstrating a love for God and for others. They would be demonstrating, by loving others, they were indeed fulfilling the law for God. Look at Romans 13, verses 8 through 10. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Hopefully, since we began the study of these two chapters, you've been examining those various duties that God would have you to perform before the Lord and before others, and that you've seen yourself doing them more dutifully and with greater diligence. But by what follows in this chapter, it seems as though Paul still is somewhat concerned that his readers will not follow through with their responsibilities in performing these various duties. Let me read to you verses 11 through 14 and show you what I mean. And that knowing that the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chamberling and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Perhaps you and I are like Paul's readers in that we too need to know it's high time to wake out of sleep. And why should his readers be motivated to perform the duties that Paul has previously mentioned in these verses? Why should they be motivated? What's our first point today? Why should Paul's readers be motivated to do these duties? Well, first of all, because they were and we are justified. Look at verse 11. It says, it's because they knew the time. They knew the time. Now, what time was Paul talking about? Well, he's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ, as indicated by the very last part. Look at the last part of verse 11. What's it say? For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. There are three aspects of salvation spoken of in the Bible. You've heard me speak on this on several occasions, but let's just review it in our ears this morning. First of all, there's a salvation from the penalty of sin. This is also referred to as justification. Let me read to you just one reference concerning our salvation from the penalty of sin. Ephesians 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, talking about Jesus, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. There's many verses that speak about our salvation from the penalty of sin. But there are other verses that speak about our salvation from the power of sin over our lives. This is also referred to as sanctification. One verse, Philippians 2, verse 12. Paul, he's writing to the church at Philippi. And here's what he says. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, he encourages them to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The Bible teaches us that we are both partakers of and pursuers of God's holiness. We become partakers of the Lord's holiness when we are saved from the penalty of sin. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. But we are also to pursue the Lord's holiness. Be ye holy, for I am holy, we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Now, that is the process of salvation, which you and I must pursue in our individual lives and as a corporate body. Though we've been made righteous when Christ's righteousness was imputed upon us at the moment we believed, Romans 4, nevertheless, we are to manifest his righteousness by right living. Now, therefore, there is both a positional righteousness. This occurred when we were saved from the penalty of sin, and there's also a practicing righteousness. This occurs as you and I are saved day by day from the power of sin over our lives. But there's a third aspect of salvation, and this is the one that Paul is referring to here in Romans 13. It's a salvation from the very presence of sin. This is also referred to as glorification, our glorification. Let me read one verse concerning this matter. 1 Peter 1:5 says this, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Speaking now of that time when Christ comes and saves us even from the very presence of sin. Well, based on what salvation is, look at our purpose today. Because I want to fulfill my duties. Why do you want to fulfill your duties? Well, I'll tell you why. Because God has saved you and I from the penalty of sin. He's saving us from the presence of, from the power of sin. And one day he's going to save us, yes, even from the very presence of sin. So let's ask that question again. Why should Paul's readers, that includes you and I, be more motivated to perform these duties spoken of in chapters 12 and 13? Why? One is because we're justified. But the second one is because we're going to be judged. There's a time of judgment. Here in Romans 13, Paul is referring to salvation of Christians from the very presence of sin. And that occurs, of course, when Jesus comes again. Imagine if Paul thought it was of such great importance for him to write that now it's high time to wake out of sleep to these Christians who were living around 60 AD, how much more so for you and I who are 2,000 years, almost 2,000 years, closer to Christ's second coming. The Greek word translated high time is most often translated hour. The Apostle Paul believed and he taught the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Jesus could come at any hour. Any hour. You discovered in your reading this morning of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul taught the church there at Thessalonica to be ready. Why? For the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. In that passage we read and were exhorted, therefore let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. The Apostle Paul was telling them, Jesus is coming again, and they needed to be ready. Likewise, here he says that now it's high time to wake out of sleep. Do you see that word translated awake? It's most often translated raised, rise, risen. Paul is exhorting his Christian readers to get up and get going. They have been inactive and ineffective long enough. Look at with me, if you want to keep your marker right here in Romans, but turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, he has something to say about this. He's going to tell us to walk as children of light. I'm going to begin my reading verse 7. Be not ye therefore, I'm in Ephesians 5, verse 7. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. He says, I want you to prove what's acceptable unto the Lord. You can do that through the word. And he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. In fact, he says, I want you to reprove him. Why? It's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But, here's the phrase, emphasis. But all things that are reproved are made manifest. How? By the light. And whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then, summation, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now, do you want to know how you can redeem the time? All you got to do is read chapters 4, 5, and 6 of the book of Ephesians. Then you know, hey, this is how I can redeem the time. Because in those chapters, Paul puts forth several duties for the church there at Ephesus. As you turn back with me to our passage, I fear way too many of us are in a spiritual slumber and stupor, failing to fulfill our God-given duties. You and I ought to be motivated to perform our duties by realizing, as we read here in this passage, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Whereas the Lord has already judged our sins and eternally forgiven us, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:28. He has yet to judge our service. How faithfully you and I have fulfilled our duties in serving him. And you can read more of that if you'd like in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, and then again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Our service is yet to be judged. Thank God our sin has been taken care of, but the service is yet to be judged. The fact that the Lord's coming again to judge not only the saved but the unsaved, and it may be today, that's Paul's emphasis, that should be motivation for you and I to wake up and prepare for his coming. And by the way, Paul believed it could happen at any time. But look at verse 12. He says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Now here, the night, it's representative of Satan's influence upon this world and the fact that man is presently living in a dark and depraved world, one such as described by Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17, 18, and 19. Dark and depraved. 2 Timothy 3:13, here's what it tells us about as the days draw closer to Christ's coming. But evil men and seducers, they shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's going to be a very extreme, dark time before the dawn arises. Now, the day in this verse, that's representative of the Savior's influence in creating a new world, a world void of darkness, a world void of depravity. The day, he says, is at hand. It indicates Jesus Christ can come at any moment and deliver his Christians from this dark and depraved world when he redeems our bodies, Romans 8:23, and when he creates the new heavens and the new earth, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. Okay, so how should these truths affect your life and my life? Well, look at your purpose. Because I know I shall be judged for my service, and knowing Jesus' coming is imminent, he can come at any time, I purpose to be striving to fulfill my God-given duties, motivating us to do what is right. So knowing their salvation from the presence of sin because of Jesus' coming was imminent, and knowing what kind of behavior Paul was encouraging his readers to be involved in, brings us to our second point. What should Paul's readers be motivated to do when performing these duties? That brings us back to verse 12. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Here we go. Let us therefore, let us, first thing, cast off the works of darkness, and the second, let us put on the armor of light. Some believe that this is portraying a soldier who the night before had engaged in all kinds of dark and depraved deeds. And now he's being called on by his commander to prepare himself for battle. And what was the first thing that this soldier of Christ was to do? Well, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Cast off is also translated lay aside, put off. In Acts 7, verse 58, the same word is used to describe how those who were about to stone Stephen, how they laid their clothes at the feet of the young man, Paul, or Saul. So here's what I'm trying to share with you. The sins that a Christian must remove from their life, it's necessary. It's necessary so that they can perform their God-called duties with more proficiency. Laying aside our sins enable us to, with greater efficiency, proficiency, to do the work of our Lord. Now, the sins can be sins of commission, things that we've been doing we ought to stop doing, or they could be sins of omission, things you and I ought to be doing, but we're not doing. But any of these sins we need to be looking at and evaluating, saying, okay, what sin do I need to put off so that I can be a better ambassador for the Lord? Now I want to read to you Ephesians 4:22. Listen to these words. Paul, writing to that church, he says, that you put off concerning the former conversation, in other words, put off that old behavior, that old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. He says, put that off. Now I want to give you a sample of some of the things that the Bible encourages us, exhorts us to cast off. And pay attention as I read them, how many involve the tongue. Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, put away lying. Colossians 3:8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blaspheme, filthy communication out of your mouth. James 1:21. Wherefore, lay apart, same word, all filthiness, all kinds of defilement, all superfluity of naughtiness, all kinds of sinful thoughts. 1 Peter 2:1. Wherefore, lay aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speakings. Look at your purpose on your sheet. so that I can perform my God-given duties more efficiently and more effectively, I purpose to cast off the following works of darkness. As I read down through those lists, was there anything that just jumped out at you? Something that you felt, yeah, this is what I indeed need to put off. If I'm going to serve my Lord, I need to be putting this off. But the next thing that a good soldier of Christ must do is let us put on the armor of light. 2 Corinthians 10:4 talks about this. For the weapons, our armor of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Ephesians 4:24 says it like this, and that we put on what? The new man, which is created in righteousness and holiness. Put it on. Let me show you something. You can keep your marker here in Romans, but you want to come over with me, or you can just sit there and listen. 2 Peter. 2 Peter, talking about when we're going to have those new heavens, and then new, it talks about what kind of behavior we should see right now as we wait for that. He says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We've read that before, haven't we? In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, we look for the new heavens and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye might be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. Well, peace, without spot, blameless is the way Peter describes how you and I should be preparing ourselves for the second coming of the Lord. Are you doing that very thing as you look for his coming? I put on your sheet five examples found in Ephesians 4, verse 24 through 32. Five examples of things that Paul, in this particular book, tells us things we ought to put off and put on, just to help you. Put off lying, put on speaking truth. Put off being angry, remember inward, outward, and put on keeping short accounts. Put off stealing, put on working with your hands so that you can have to give to others. It talks about putting off evil speaking and put on using your mouth to edify, building up. The other one was put off anger and put on being kind and tenderhearted and forgiving. Those are just five examples for you and I to say, all right, what do I need to put off? What do I need to examine that I should be putting on if I'm going to be a good soldier of the Lord, if I'm going to be effectively and efficiently performing the duties that God wants me to perform while I await his imminent return. Ephesians 5:8, we read, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Look at your purpose, please. So that I can perform my God-given duties more efficiently and effectively, I purpose to put on the following works of light. Now, what would you put on as you look back over those examples? Now, if you're still not convicted of what you should be putting off and putting on, perhaps these next two verses will touch your spirit. Look at verse 13. Romans 13, verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. So here Paul is exhorting his readers to walk honestly. Honestly, walk decently. And for one to walk in light, as Christ is in the light, one needs to be putting off the following sins that he describes. And by the way, there's three categories. There's the sins of merrymaking, there's the sins of moral impurity, and then there's the sins of malice. If I took you this morning to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, there Paul, he has these three, but he adds a fourth category, and I labeled as sins of mysticism, and it includes idolatry and witchcraft. But here he mentions three. He mentions, first of all, the sins of merrymaking, I've labeled it. He puts right from the beginning, rioting. Now that's also translated reveling. You and I would use the word maybe carousing to describe its meaning. In other words, he's talking about all kinds of wild parties, brawls, and etc. And of course, many of them involving alcohol and drugs. Well, he does even next speak about drunkenness. And that's an intentional intoxication. That is an habitual drunkenness that's being described. Then he gives us two illustrations of the sins of moral impurity. Chamberling, also translated bed. It means to go to bed with another, to have illicit sex with someone other than your mate. Then, along with chamberling, there's wantonness. That's six times translated lasciviousness. In other words, it's all kinds of lewd sexual immorality. That which is excessive, that which is uninhibited. All right, so we got those two examples. Now he moves to two examples of the sins of malice. Strife, also translated contentions. This is one who provokes or is easily provoked. They love to engage in all kinds of disputes, and they're giving over to bickering all the time. Now, you ever tell your children, tell them stop that bickering. Well, strife. And then there's envy. That's also translated jealousy. But love neither provokes others to jealousy nor is provoked to jealousy. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Well, look at our purpose then. Because I know Jesus may come today, I purpose to put off the following sins. And I want you to note, Paul use only two examples for each category. So this by no means is an exhaustive list of what a Christian should be putting off. But it should stimulate you to think about some things that maybe you should be putting off. So that's what it's for. It's put here to help you and I to do a little self-examination. But I want you to understand something. Paul is very clear. It's not enough that the soldier of Christ puts off the likeness of this world, puts off darkness. He is to put on the likeness of Christ. He is to put on the light of Christ. Look at verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. For you and I to continue our spiritual growth, we need to put off that old man and its lust. But we must also put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and holiness. Ephesians 4, verse 24. For you and I to simply try to stop doing evil without starting to do good, we're setting ourselves up for a failure. We need to be putting on daily the Lord Jesus Christ. And we, of course, put on the Lord Jesus Christ when we first believed. We know that from Galatians 3, verse 27. But there is another sense in which you and I are to be continually, listen to me, rooted and built up in him. Colossians 2, verse 7. So, Jesus' character, his faith, his patience, his love, his humility, his meekness, his righteousness, his holiness must be more and more seen in our character. We're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We put on the Lord by not only knowing how he thinks and acts, but by following his example. In other words, it's not enough for you and I to ponder on the word. You and I need to practice the word. 1 John 3, listen to these two verses, 2 and 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purify himself even as he is pure. Yes, you and I, our role right now is to become more and more like Christ. Think like he thinks. Act like he acts. That's our role. Now look at what comes next in our text. And it says, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Becoming more and more like Jesus is to be walking more and more in the Spirit and a whole lot less and less in the flesh. This word translated provision, it means don't even think about it. It's the idea of forethought. Don't even think about it. And you know from your own experience that prior to you doing something wrong, you think something wrong. And God's saying here, I want you to put on the Lord. And in putting on the Lord, I don't want you even think about those things. Stop thinking about them. That's where it starts. Now, let me just have you flash back with me for a moment as we close to Romans 6. Romans 6. Because Paul says to do what the Lord wants you to do and not what your flesh wants you to do. That is what he's saying here. And if we go back to chapter 6, look at verse 11. Romans 6, verse 11. He says, likewise, because we've been redeemed, not our body, but our soul and spirit has been redeemed. He says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. He says, all right, do not yield your body. Yeah, it's not yet redeemed, so be careful. Don't allow your body to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Neither, he says, yield ye your members. Don't yield your body, but don't even yield the members, your eyes, your ears, your mouth. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But what are we to do? Yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Paul is saying to his readers here in Romans 13, make not provision for the flesh. And you can do that by not yielding your body, not yielding the members of your body unto sin. Rather, yield your body and the members of your body unto your Savior. Your final purpose for today, you know what? I purpose to put on the Lord Jesus and make not provision for the flesh by yielding my following member to my Savior and to my sin. I'm going to yield my, what member do you need to yield? Your mind? Your mouth? What member do you need to yield to your Lord? He's called on us that it's high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this admonition from the Apostle Paul to be aware that your second coming is closer today than it was yesterday. And that, Lord, we should be preparing ourselves to be judged concerning our service. Have we been faithful? That good and faithful servant? utilizing the gifts and goods you've given to us, unto others, within the church, outside the church, those who are lovable, those who are unlovable. Lord, there may be something in our life that is hindering, distracting from our ability to serve you fully. Lord, impress that upon our hearts. What is it that we need to put off? What is it that we need to put on? That we could be a better servant for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, what would you have us to put off? What would you have us to put on? Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. In Jesus' name.